One.
From the Superintendent, House of Correction, providing an update on the transition at the House of Correction. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you. Welcome. If you could just introduce yourselves before, before presenting.
Good morning. Mike Hafman, Superintendent of the House of Correction. And I'd like to introduce Carrie McKenzie, who I appointed as the Assistant Superintendent of the House of Corrections. She began her new assignment on May 10th, and she's actually in charge of operations, or the daily operations of the facility.
Good morning.
Ms. McKenzie, where were you previously?
I was a captain with the Sheriff's Office.
Okay. Thank you. All right, proceed.
Just to give you a little bit of an update, it's been hasn't been quite a month since we took over. There's been a lot of changes. I know some of them have been documented in the press. One of the things I want to highlight to you is that last Friday we reopened up the EMP program, and we had three inmates go out who are at the day reporting center and now out on EM. Two are on the global link. The other one is on what's called the Scram X with a tether. That's where we constantly monitor their alcohol content. At that time, we had 14 inmates at the DRC. We went through determined eligibility. There's a number of inmates because they didn't have a home, because of their charges. We only ended up with three. But the hope is that as we go forward, there will be more inmates in that process. We also began the program for letting Cuba inmates who are employed out on EM. We're evaluating those inmates. We have approximately 550 inmates who are Cuba work release at the House of Correction. Out of that group, 128 are full-time employed. The first target group is going to be the ones who are employed to see if they're eligible. We're actually going through each one, evaluating each file. We've targeted six that are eligible, and they'll actually go out this Friday. So we're going to incrementally bring the EMP program back online. The goal is, again, as I was directed, is put the program back in place safely, make sure that whoever goes out there should be out there, and there is no set goal of how many inmates we're going to have. It's going to be whether or not they qualify for the program. So we have that going forward. Some of the things that we're doing with programming in-house is AODA now is open up to all inmates. Previously, it was targeted just those inmates who were in the DOTS program. What we're doing now is we're actually going through and evaluating which inmates have a need to go for AODA treatment, and then they'll be targeted for that treatment. That's provided through a contract with ADD Correctional Services, which is in place and had been in place and has been budgeted for this year. This week, we met with the Hunger Task Force, with the idea of actually getting inmate labor back across the street. They'll be working at the fish hatchery and on the farm. We had very good discussions. We talked how we were going to implement that program. They're very interested in it. They're looking forward to having those inmates there, and hopefully within the next week we'll have crews working there. We'll have a regular crew that will actually work in the fish hatchery, and another crew will work on the farm. And primarily, I'm sure you're all familiar with Hunger Task Force. What they're doing is they're raising fruits and vegetables that then go to the inner city, you know, to help more nutritious meals. So basically, these inmates will be giving back, and they'll be learning skills that they can use once they get released from custody, gardening, nutrition. It's all part of their program. So we're looking forward with that. We've also met with several department heads to see if there's any way we can integrate inmate labor into their programs, and they're all looking at it. And again, this inmate labor would be that pool of, I mentioned, 550 work release inmates. These are work release inmates who can leave the facility, but just haven't been able to procure employment for whatever reason. So they would go out, work, and then they would get time off their sentence for actually doing this work that we deal with the chief judge for that. So basically, that's what we're doing moving forward with. There's been a lot of changes. I can tell you, it's thinking back last night, it seems like we've been there for a long time, and it also seems like we've only been there for a week. But basically, we're moving forward. You know, we had to get vehicles in place. One of the things we put in place is, like, even for the day reporting center, those inmates are transported. Those inmates that can't go on EMP, we actually transport to the day reporting center at the start of treatment, and we pick them up right after the treatment. So they're not wandering the streets or hanging around the area. In fact, I've mandated, and I can tell you for certain that Assistant Superintendent McKenzie has reinforced it, that they'll be picked up within 15 minutes from the time they're done with their treatment, if not right when they're done with their treatment. So that's one of the things we're working on, too. It's still, as it was before, a very secure facility. We have a skeleton crew. We're maintaining the security of the facility, and we're in the process of hiring staff. Through transfers with HR, and HR has been very helpful, is we do have all our captain's positions filled at this point. We have all our lieutenant's positions filled. We're short about 40 correctional officers. that we're in the process of hiring. That'll be a long process. Again, we're not going to reduce our standards. We're going to make sure that the people that we hire to work in the facility are qualified and are the best candidates available. Two other positions we're looking at is the assistant superintendent who will be in charge of programs and industry. That there will be an independent panel that will be seated on June 17th to interview about 8 candidates for that position. They will rank the candidates, and I will interview the top 3 and to make decision who I'll appoint to that position. We also are in the process of hiring our budget and fiscal manager. Those interviews will take place on June 24th, and hopefully we'll have that position in place soon afterwards. So we'll have, by the end of this month, hopefully we'll have the management staff completely in place, and we'll move forward with hiring correctional officers. We're also going through, and I know you're going to be talking about the armor transition. I think that's going quite well. They've been there. We're in the process of reopening up the infirmary at the House of Correction. It had been closed down when there was a merger with the Sheriff's Department, so we're in the process of reopening up infirmary beds that we'll need. Fortunately, we have the space there, so it's just a matter of redoing the plumbing, putting the plumbing back in, and then purchasing beds that we'll put in those units. So other than that, and I probably, I should have taken notes, but one of the things we're doing, trying new too, is getting female inmates involved. We actually started with it because previously, even though we have roughly about 200 females, you can't commingle them with male inmates. So they didn't really have the opportunity to get out of the dormitory. In fact, a lot of our female inmates, even the ones who are unemployed, basically spent 24 hours a day right in their dormitory. So all of their whole life was their cot in a small box. So to get them some activity, we actually started a female grass cutting crew, and they work on the grounds. And there's a crew of 5, and they are out regularly, and they'll cut the grass. And then if the weather would cooperate, we have another female crew who's going to be painting outside. There's a number of things that we need to be touched up, and our maintenance facility will supervise them as they paint certain areas of the House of Correction. So we're going forward with that. In fact, the crew was supposed to start today, but the way the weather is, I don't know if we'll get them out today. But as soon as we get some decent weather, they'll be out painting. The other thing we were looking at, too, with females is we've entered into a cooperative relationship with the Benedict Center. In Milwaukee, they're going to be donating yarn and plastic knitting and crocheting needles. And the female inmates have expressed the desire to knit blankets for the Children's Hospital. So all the blankets they'll be knitting will be donated to the Children's Hospital. And if the Children's Hospital can't use them, we'll donate them to whichever private entity, any type of public entity that would make use of these blankets. So we're moving ahead with that program. That should actually start this week sometime.
Yes.
So unless anybody has any questions.
Supervisor Burkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Really kind of cool to hear about this knitting club. My size is boys large. Anyways, first I want to say thank you to you and to Dr. Colton. There's 3 of us that represent the city of Franklin, obviously where the house is located. And you composed a very nice one-page letter that we could send out to our constituents, allaying any kind of fears that they may have. And I appreciated that work, so thank you. So how are you enjoying the job?
You know, actually, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I've worked for different sheriff's departments, and you always had to, whenever you wanted to put in programs, you usually had to get the sheriff on board or a chief deputy. Those positions have been removed, so I've been able to explore a little bit more. We have to stay within budgetary restraints. But it's interesting that, this hunger task force to me is perfect. It follows that restorative justice. They're out there producing food that's going to be put back into the city. So the fact that they're incarcerated, their labor is going to help other people, needy people in the community. So that's one thing that we're very interested in starting up. The same thing with other labor, picking up garbage, whatever. It fits that model where we have inmates going out and doing something and being productive. It's not going to be every inmate. We have 1,600 inmates out there. We have inmates that will never leave the dormitory. We have inmates that will stay in segregation for various reasons. But those inmates that we can put to productive use, we're going to do that.
Mr. Chairman, it's great to hear it. Sherry Tussler and the Hunger Task Force has done an amazing job, and kudos need to go out to the Harley-Davidson Foundation, who made a contribution of over $2 million. So our inmates are going to be able to benefit from all of that programming. So good luck to both of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Broder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you begun reviewing and reforming the operations you found in place at the House of Correction, could you talk a bit about those practices? Which which of them may have been, in some sense, most divergent from institutional norms as you've experienced them and in other settings?
Well, there were a couple of, you know, that, and there, it depends on the facility, but I mean, one of the issues were inmates, when they were escorted in the facility, it depends on their classification. Some inmates need to be escorted, you know, one-on-one or in smaller groups. However, we have a large group of inmates that could be transported with larger groups and safely and securely move them. The other issue we removed is previously, if an inmate passed anybody in the hall, that inmate had to stop and face the wall, basically put their nose up against the wall as the visitor passed by. From my point of view, I'd rather keep my eye on that inmate as I'm moving by and just make sure that we know what their movements are going to be. One of the other issues is there was an issue that it was the sheriff wanted under respect saluting, that everybody above the rank of captain had to be saluted whenever they passed by. Again, there's such a thing as military courtesy. We're an indoor facility. I don't see their need for that. Staff has enough to do that they don't have to worry about saluting me or saluting any of my captains. And quite frankly, I don't need that, you know, type of support. They understand I'm the superintendent. They understand there's a chain of command. One of the nice things that has been, we actually put committees together and got staff input. They were able, we put a committee together, they developed their own patch that's going to be putting on their uniform. And I don't have a copy of it here. We sat them down and they developed their own mission statement. Eventually, I approved the mission statement, but I can tell you the work they put on it was excellent. And it incorporated all the values that I think this committee, the county board, wants the House Correction to have, as well as what I have. So that's what we're moving forward with. There's a number of different changes. Neutral, for instance, that's a philosophical decision. I don't believe in using it. I don't think it's necessary. If we have an inmate that can't have a tray, we're going to give them a bologna sandwich and a piece of fruit. But having a neutral loaf is not something I've ever used. So there are things that we've made changes on. But I'll tell you, like I said, the essential thing is, one of the things the county exec told me is to run a secure facility, and that's what we're doing.
It sounds as if you have a more modest and secure self-image in not requiring to, you know, you be saluted at every turn. I'm very pleased to hear what you've had to say about the Hunger Task Force and the Benedict Center. These, after all, and the public should be reminded, are by and large misdemeanors and not hardened career criminals. And whatever we can do to reinforce or restore a sense of human dignity, I think, is to the benefit of all involved in society particularly. So thank you for your efforts, and let us know how we can continue to be of assistance.
Thank you.
Other questions? Supervisor Weisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for being here today. I was hoping you could expound a little bit on a timeline for hiring correction officers. We've had an issue with overtime and correction officers not getting the appropriate time off that they're due. So if you could just elaborate on your plans to move forward on those staffing issues.
Well, number one, we did post. It actually started yesterday. It was posted for correctional officers, and we're working with human resources to get those positions staffed as quickly as possible. We're also looking at different options, whether or not we can bring back retired correctional officers who want to work for a period of time to just alleviate some of the overtime issues. One of the things we did, too, is we looked at going to mandatory 12-hour shifts. In other words, we go to two shifts as opposed to three. In doing so, it would have provided the overtime. It would not have given us the relief in overtime that would have been significant. There would have been some savings, but not what I would call a significant amount. But it would have guaranteed that the staff would have had at least two off days in a row. They wouldn't have to work their off days. So the fact that it really didn't have a significant savings in overtime, we left it up to the staff. So basically, we proposed a 12-hour shift. We told them what the hours would be, told them if we went to this, they would then be able to have their two off days. And we let them vote on it because they were going to have to work. Right now, we don't have the final tally, but it was actually 3-1 that no, they wanted to stay the current course. And it makes sense because I have a lot of single parents working there, so it's easier for them to work an off day as opposed to work a mandatory 12-hour day and trying to get child care issues. So that's one thing we looked at, and we're going to continue to look at that. I think we're going to move very quickly with the hiring, but you go through streaks. I mean, I've gone through it, and I've hired over the years. I can't even count how many correctional officers I've hired, both Waukesha and Sauk County. Sometimes you'll go through nine candidates to find one. Sometimes you can find 6 out of 10 in terms of whether or not you want to have actually work in the jail. So hopefully we'll be on that other end where we're finding a lot of good quality people up front. But the goal is to get them in place as quickly as possible.
Do you think the appropriated number, you mentioned that there was 40 current open positions coming up in our next budget cycle or even prior to that, do we need to fund and up that? Should that be 50, 60, 100?
At this point, it's difficult to evaluate. Hopefully, if the EM program goes up to inmates where we have 200 inmates on the program, that means I can close down two dormitories. Then I can recycle those staff to other positions, so we wouldn't necessarily have to hire additional staff. I anticipate once we get all the positions filled, we will have enough staff and we don't need to add any additional staff. One of my concerns is I want to make sure we provide enough security in the corridors. We do have that, but we have to move staff around when we're doing mass movements of inmates. The other thing, too, is we have to go back to serving the inmates in dining rooms. Right now, we're serving them in the dormitories, and I don't have enough staff to open up the dining rooms, and we're getting them ready. But that requires mass movement at the serving time. The problem with feeding them in the dormitories, they don't have enough chairs. There's not enough people cannot sit down and eat, or they have to eat in phases. Not to mention you have food, and it gets accumulated in the housing unit, which is not good for hygiene or sanitation. But again, we'll have to have more staff in place. I don't really think we're going to need to add additional staff once we get all those positions filled. But it's going to fluctuate. Like EM is going to go up and down. And when we say there's an average of 200, you might have 300 for a period of time and go down to 150. It depends on who qualifies and what the charges are. So I don't really anticipate we'll be adding additional staff. I'll know better at the end of the year. I think I will never say I'd never come before you and say, hey, I need extra staff. You know, at this point, we're evaluating it. I think we'll have a better handle as we go through the year.
Right. I just want it to be clear that, at least for myself, that I'm going to be very open-minded, that I understand that we are trying to recreate and reconstruct a whole brand-new operation out there, and that if we need more staff to make things work correctly and to have a safe facility, that's what I'm interested in. I don't want us to be boxed into some old numbers or old practices. It's let's wipe the slate clean and build a real high quality institution out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions from committee members? There was some talk about the equipment and other things that were taken in the final days. You've been able to get the dogs back, or what's the status of reacquiring any of that?
Actually, no, the dogs were reassigned up to the county jail. But we do, we've been able to work with other kennels. Starting next week, we will have five dogs back. We're at three right now,
okay.
And we will be at five. We had a kennel that has two more that we received trained. And quite frankly, we even have we can purchase even more dogs. The thing is right now it's budgetary restraint. We're going to see what we can do with the five and then evaluate it from that point. We're also in the process of now, we had to purchase firearms. They're all purchased. So in that case, and we're going to be recertifying the staff to use those firearms. And that's not for internal security. That's primarily outside security for war crews and when we do hospital guards, because occasionally, as of right now, we have an inmate that's in a hospital because we could not meet his means at the infirmary, and they have to be under armed guard. Now, if that would be a Huber inmate, that's a whole different story, but this is a pretrial or somebody that does not have work release privileges. But all that equipment is in place, and quite frankly, we're coming up with lists as we go through, so we're actually getting the equipment back, and actually the budgeting staff has been excellent in helping us get through that and push through these procurement orders. There's a process, obviously, with county government you have to go through, and we've been following that, but they've been moving us ahead of line with anything that we need. IMSD has been excellent. They've gotten all our systems back up and running, and we have one more system that we will get up running. Hopefully, it'll be up this week. So in terms of all our automation needs, they're in place, and we are getting the equipment in place, too.
Okay. All right. I'm not seeing any other questions or comments from committee. I appreciate your you've been very accessible to me with any of my questions, and I hope that that's been the same for other members. Thank you. With that, we'll take item 2.